for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thanksgiving evening, Thursday, November the 25th, 2004. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ronnie Bejou from Louisiana is the speaker.
It's always moving. And the reason I said that, my mind was reminiscing tonight when a few years back when my wife and the kids of the summer camp and we made these banners and the Lord of Lords and He is Lord and the King of Kings, and I had the privilege of standing here that night and ministering, and the glory of God filled the house to where the cloud of God kept moving all the way up to the front. And I want to tell you, God is more than able to change our spiritual climate, but it's going to require something from you and from me. We cannot sit on our blessed assurance and hope that God will do something. I believe that God has put enough stuff in us that we need to get stuff in the house and we need to get stuff in order, because our God is a God of order. And if you can't handle this stuff tonight, you've come to the wrong camp meeting. But I'm telling you, I'm fired up for God. I believe that God wants to move and God wants to do something tonight. And if you believe that, stand up and shout, hallelujah! Glory! If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ruth. And my Bible is page 356. Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman, a Gentile woman. She is very much like most Americans, Gentile in nature, have been trained in the traditions of our forefathers, but have not come into a reality of who she really is and what she possesses. And I'm telling you tonight, some of you, I don't speak by just general knowledge. I speak by divine authority that some of you are going to begin to come out of your shell, and God is going to begin to cause things to happen inside of you. There is an electricity. There is an authenticity inside of you tonight. There is a power that wants to get ignited inside of you. And the only person that stops what you need to flow in tonight is you, and the thing that is caught between your ears is called the carnal mind. I think it is time for us to quit trusting what our forefathers did, and I think that we're living in a right now time, and I believe that God is a right now God, and He gives us a right now word, and He speaks in clarity. He does not speak in confusion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, "Of myself I do nothing, but that which I see the Father do, and that which I hear Him say, that is what I do." How many of you believe you can do what Jesus did if He said you could do it? Oh, you're not going to help me preach tonight. I'm going to get over here and get on the cheering squad. How many of you believe tonight that you can do what Jesus wants you to do? And you don't need anybody else's opinion on how to do it because you've got the Holy Ghost. No, you got to tell me,
I got the Holy Ghost.
But now I'm going to let the Holy Ghost have me. All right, you're doing much better. Now, our climate has to be with such divinity that we would invite the presence of our Father to be where we are. And see, for years we have tried to get God to move because we said so. Now, come on, you're going to help me. And the atmosphere has never changed. And so we have gone through rituals and formalisms and routines. And we have left church meetings and we have left camp meetings worse shape than when we first came in.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you. I'm not looking for another message here tonight. I'm just looking to find in the climate of God that I would be able to walk in the season of God that God wants me to walk in. Because see, here we are. We have seasons that we don't know anything about. I'm telling you, we have destinies that need to be fulfilled. We have mandates that need to come up. We have situations that will rise up. But I want to tell you, because we've been pressed upon, it's good for us that we can press on and press into what God has given us tonight. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I believe as we begin to press into what God's given us, then we will change the atmosphere in which we live. I'm telling you, there's some folks that don't even like you now, but when this thing begins to happen inside of you, they're going to get to like you. They might want to move next door to you. And some of us are the best kept secrets in town. There was something about Moses that when he came out from the backside of that mountain, it wasn't because he was holding tablets that pertain to what we know as the Ten Commandments. Because ten is a good number, and he speaks of that which is in divine order or the perfection of divine order. But it was not what Moses was holding, it's what he saw. Oh, come on, you're going to have to help me a little bit. It is what he saw behind the mountain.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yes.
And there was a time in his life when he said to Moses, I'm going to walk right by you, but I'm going to cause some things to happen, because if I walk by you as I am, and that it would absolutely consume you, Moses. And because I love you, I hide you in the shadow of my wings, in the cleft of my rock, and I'm going to walk behind you, and in time when I'm going to walk behind you, the atmosphere is going to begin to change, Moses. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Now, he knows that, I know that you understand my ways. But Moses, I want to show you that in time to come, there's going to be a new dispensation, and that which you have done will be passed from you. And when I turn my hiney part, how many of you know that God got a hiney part? He says, when I turn my hiney part to you, Moses, that means in time, I'm turning my back on the old, come on, and I'm opening everything that's new to you, and everything that's new to you is for the new man. And Moses, I'm looking for me a priest that is not made after the order of the Levitical priesthood, but a new priesthood that I have established, Moses, a priest that will go before me, and a priest that will bring acclamation and bring the things into unity in the spirit. And when you begin to worship me, Moses, I will change the atmosphere. So why did God speak that in Moses' time when he brought clouds, come on, by day, pillars of fire by night? Well, is God an old God that he does not do things that he used to do? God is an ever-changing, present, moving thing. And for so many years, we have placed our tabernacles or our little booths, and we dug our tent pegs so deep that it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. We want God to move by our order, but he says, I'm not moving like that anymore. If you want to have some of me, you're going to have to come up where I am. And if I like what you bring to me, then I'm going to come and be where you are. And see, we thought at Pentecost we had it all locked up because we got a little shot of Micaiah. Oh, we got it made. You got enough to get you in trouble.
All right.
Somebody needs to tell you with tongue comes trouble. Because when you pray like that, the devil doesn't know what you're saying. And he might come visit your house and want to know what you're doing. What you're talking in all that gibberish. I don't understand that. But there's something about praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost tonight. There's something about praying in the Holy Ghost that begins to change not only the inward man, but everything on the outside. And then you begin to see things clearly. He said, y'all can go home when I say amen. How many of you got in Ruth? Oh, my goodness. A few years ago, the Holy Ghost woke me up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm telling you, when you wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm fit to be tied. I am not the prettiest thing you ever want to lay out at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not nice. Because, see, I haven't overcome my flesh yet.
My flesh is in control. We're sawing logs. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all have that problem? Amen. So you see, if I sow to my flesh, what do I get? I reap corruption. So God says, wake up, I need to talk. And then you got to find out, say, Lord, what is on your mind at 2 o'clock in the morning? Don't you know that this child has laid himself in bed and I am so tired and, Lord, I am so weary. I don't want to get up. Lord, don't you know that I can pray at 6 o'clock in the morning after I have my coffee, after I have a half a pot of coffee or a whole pot of coffee? Lord, don't you know you can talk to me at 7? Lord, don't you know you can talk to me at 8? Lord, don't you know you can come at any time today? But, Lord, what do you want at 2 o'clock in the morning? Y'all don't do that. He didn't ask me if I wanted to get up. He didn't ask me what to do. He said, now listen up. He said, I'm famished. I said, you what? He said, I'm famished. He said, I'm thirsty. I thought, you'll get over it. I'm going back to sleep. I mean, you're the God of the universe. What do you need to take up my time? He said, but I'm hungry. I said, you're hungry? He said, then I'm full. And I have no one that would spend a little time with me so I can talk to them so they could understand my heart. He said, I'm looking for people who are after my heart. He said, I'm not interested in people who are after another meal. I want to pay the utility bills. Come on. I want to pay the rent this month. Come on. I want to pay the interest on your note. He said, I'm looking for people who are hungry after me, who are thirsty for the things of God. And if you will do those things, I will get you to where you're full and running over. In the book of Ruth, just before the book of Ruth, comes a time in the historical books where we run across the judges. And the judges were set in motion in the Spirit by God to bring to the church world an apostolic understanding so they would have an apostolic thrust in the body of Christ. See, apostles govern.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, you're going to have to help me better than that. You better get rid of your traditional mind and again look in the Spirit. The apostles govern. The apostles are based on Ephesians 2:20, the foundational principles of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief of the apostles. And so the apostles govern. Come on. There was a time in Israel where the judges ruled, and so the apostles have rule. And so what God has on His mandate, He wants to change the spiritual climate so He can begin to bring the church in divine order. And that means that you're going to get rid of your free-spirited mentality. You're not going to be able to do things anymore the way you want to do it because you got money, or you ain't got money, honey, or you got a nice car, or you got a nice condominium. You're not going to begin to have any impact in the church government because the Holy Ghost is going to take charge, and He's looking for a son, come on, that will rise up with the authority of God and began to speak to dry bones.
Yes.
I said, God wants you to speak to the dry bones.
Yes,
He's not interested in pastors with 3 points in the appointment shaking people's hand on the way out. That it was good to see you today. Did you tithe? But He's interested in using a man after His own heart and a woman. Now, when I say men, I mean men and women. Because I understand in the great state of Arkansas, there's still problems with the gender factor. Well, we got rid of our genders in our church. My wife and I pastor equally. The only difference between my wife and I, she's better looking than me. And she happens to be a female. Thank you, Dad. And she happens to be a female. Right? But in the Spirit, there's no difference between us. Come on. Because see, God wasn't interested in Adam and Steve. He was interested in Adam and Eve. Now, I might sound like a poet, and I don't know it, but I want to tell you that some of you need to come out of your spiritual cocoon and your spiritual attitude and begin to break forth out of your shell and say, God, whatever it takes, take it out of me. If this thing inside of me is not enough to get me over, you need to kill it. Because see, what God was fixing to do, and I may not get to the book of Ruth, but I'm going to use it for subject. What God was fixing to do
is to bring her into a season of her life.
Yes.
Because she lost her old man. Come on, help me, sister. I said he lost his old man. She lost her old man. Now, in the world, wives consider their husbands the old man.
Yes.
Now, when you came to Christ, you had an old man. I'm going to take you somewhere if you let me. And so, we love our old man so much, we pamper him. We don't dare try to get him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. We don't want to make him fast. We don't want him to pray more than he has to. So when we come into an arena of this nature tonight, and God wants to open the heavens to us, we brought our soul in here. 8:35, he's not even to his first point. Now, I don't know if I'm going to put up with this. And when God's ready to move and change the atmosphere in here, everybody's gone. This is not regular church service. This is camp meeting. And I welcome you to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp Meeting. You're talking to the swamp prophet. This is what they nicknamed me all over the country. He's a swamp prophet. And this is what we have. We have mosquitoes that can fly a 727.
That's right.
And some of them will bite you. And if you don't know your authority, they'll send you floating down the Nile River.
Yeah.
It's called the West Nile virus.
Right.
Hello? I thought God delivered us from that already. Excuse me, but if I step on, if I spit on you, I promise you it's anointed. Now, we bring this soul power, and we want God to accept this. And the minute the priest of the house comes and he brings a word of reproof, we shut her down. Because we can't get past the soul man. But I don't know about you, but in my Bible college days, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, for all the word of God is inspired.
Yes.
But we don't like that word reproof.
That's right.
Uh-huh. We don't like correction.
Mm-hmm.
We like direction.
Yes.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
We like guidance.
Yes.
And we like, bless me, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. I feel him right now. Come on and bless me, Jesus. Oh, I feel free. Bless me, Jesus. And you leave the house of God and you're as worse shaped than you when you came in. Because you never got past your soul. Now, Naomi, she's the type of Christian that is very common in the American church. She has the Pentecostal experience. She has tongues. In trouble. So I'm going to paraphrase tonight. But Elimelech, who is her husband, was a man sent from one land to the other. So if he was sent, he had an apostolic authority. And so he had input into his family. And he was to rule wisely over his family. All right, so if there was a famine in one part of the country, he had enough wisdom to go into the other part of the country where he could feed his family. But there came a time in this woman's life, and a woman is a type of church, where she lost her old man. Come on. He, and not only lost him, some of you have pastors who have died and forgot the fall. Because they're spiritually dead, and they can't get a word from heaven. If they don't get a word from that Bible Institute, come on, they can't hear God. And all they can hear is the voice of their forefathers and the deacon board. Oh, come on. Because, see, they have their own set of government in their churches. But with us charis fanatics, we have no board. And the only board we do have is what God calls the rod of correction. And he whom that he loves, he will chasten. And those that he does not love, they're bastards. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
And so if you're walking in the flesh, you might get the board more than I will. But if you're walking in the spirit, you're going to hear things that will completely eradicate your mindset.
Yes.
And begin to cause you to move in an area where you never move.
Amen.
Because what God's going to do then, he's going to give you some uncommon favor.
Yes.
He's going to bring you in uncommon territories, because as long as you sit where you're familiar, Come on. Familiar spirits began to talk to you. And now the preacher don't even have a good anointing anymore. He has 3 points in a song. I've heard it already. I know that. I've been there. I've done that. So they began to develop a Martha's mindset. Begin to get real fundamental with her beliefs. But God is looking for some Marys who pondered the word in her heart. And he was looking for a few Ruths who would mean satisfied. Not content. I am not content with what I have. But I'm satisfied. Because her name also means she became the friend of God. Now, she was married to an old heathen boy. Come on. Now, the father-in-law was spiritual. And Naomi had a Pentecostal experience. And I want to tell you, some of you folks tonight, I'm going to shock you. Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is an experience. It was a feast celebrated by the Jews every year. But after Pentecost came something much greater than tongues. It was a third-day experience where we went behind the Holy of Holies. God removed the veil, and it's a place where sons and daughters go to be with Him. And not a place where we just go to visit. It's a place where Father comes out. He gets up from His throne and He says, I think I'll sit here for a while. And clouds begin to form in your services. Healings begin to flow and nobody here lays hands on you. You begin to have words of clarity. And you go, wow. Come on. And then this thing inside of you begins to be bigger than you because it comes from a higher dimension. Religion has done us such a great injustice because the letter of the world killeth. It's the spirit that giveth life. And see, when we forget about our programs, now I'm not telling you that you just don't ever read the word. And, you know, I get prepared and study. I studied a bunch of stuff I got in here. But I wasn't settled on anything. So when the Sister Bay come up here and she start talking about God and how Moses knew the acts of God and the people knew the ways of God, I said, oh, Shandela, Baba, something began to send me a message from above called in the heaven. John 3:27 said, except we hear from heaven. Come on, except we get it from heaven.
All right.
We become a people most miserable.
Yeah.
You can go in an ice cream parlor after this and fill your gut with sweetness. But your heart can still be bitter.
Yeah.
But see, we're going to have to make an exchange. Take all this soul man. And we get to let the spirit man rule us. If you get in touch with your inner man, some of you might call it your inner witness. Mm-hmm. If I was in a black church, I'd say, can I get a witness? Because y'all can't do that because you're not me. See, I'm not just white. I'm white, I'm black, I'm red, I'm brown, I'm yellow. I'm all together lovely. How do you know that, preacher? I read the book. The Song of Solomon says, they were all together lovely.
Amen.
Now that I got you this far, and I'm a mess, this is a shortcut meeting. I don't know if I'll get the privilege of ministering again, but for what it's worth, I'm going to hit you between the ears tonight. All right? When we gather here together, you have an authority of this church, whether he calls it a church or not, it's what it is. Because the church collectively gathers together. We're in a building. We're in the cocoon of God. And God is residing from His seat. All right? And so this gives us a corporate anointing. And every one of you in here came with gifts and talents and abilities. Did y'all go to sleep on me? I said every one of you in here came with gifts, talents, and abilities. But y'all are all a bunch of cowards. Because you're all sitting here tonight. And some of you, God rang your bells. He even gave you a word and showed you a vision, and you sat there waiting for the preacher or for some other preacher to come up and say, thus saith the Lord. And your bells are going, I wish I had me a bell. You have a bell. Why? When he walked by you, the tassels of his garment rubbed on the side of you, and those little pomegranates, the bells came on. And he says, I got a bouquet of prophecy for you tonight. I got a box of chocolate-covered word of knowledge. Hello. I got an almond special word of wisdom for somebody in here tonight. I've got an interpretation of tongues. I have a dream for somebody in here tonight. I have a vision that needs to be fulfilled here tonight. I've come to give you a word of encouragement. Somebody in here tonight needs to get a word of encouragement from God. But would somebody dare to stand up and say, hey! Tradition has taught you to sit on your blessed assurance. And wait for somebody else to do it. The reason I call you a coward is I was a coward myself. And to prove my point, if I have one, everywhere I went in the churches in America to visit, God would have me prophesy. He put me to the test. And I had to believe, God, that the word that I was hearing was the right now word for that church. I never had a phone call where somebody said, preacher, you need to stay in the swamp because you are off your rocker. Somebody has flipped your lid. Because if you are connected to heaven. Now, some of you have apostolic anointing. Some of you have prophetic anointing. And while I'm on my kicker, we have made mockery of the evangelists we call evangelists. Because they have a TV program. And they have a nice plane. And I'm not against that. And they're flying all over the country. We have tagged them in evangelists. I want to tell you tonight, you need to be reproved because the Bible says we must all do the work of an evangelist. There is no title set aside for somebody to fly a jet and to call himself an evangelist. If we were evangelists like Philip and Stephen, we ought to be taking the city. Yeah. Well, who's going to die for the sake of Christ? I'm not myself tonight. I make no apologies. And so, we come with our little corporate anointing. Da, 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 da. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hey, boom, boom. Man, God's good. Hey! And you're sitting there with your time clock on. Come on, preacher, give me a word. Come on, give me a word. Give me a word. As soon as he gives you a word, you turn yourself off. Boop, 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 boop. Shut down the computer. I'm ready to go home now. Meet you at the Waffle House. Okay. There's not too much smoke. I'm familiar with your Waffle House in Hot Springs. And so since we have all this talent, you are responsible for what God put in you and what God showed you to do. And he will not settle for less because you are not a second-class citizen. So I'm up in Missouri, Brother Glenn. I was preaching next door to the big boys, Assembly of God Church. Boy, we're just having a great time. I had the big wigs. I mean, the head knocker. And the Holy Ghost keeps them up to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I prophesied to all these guys, and I thought, I asked the bishop, I said, who are all these people? He said, man, don't you know who that is? He's the big CEO of the Assembly of God. I said, I'm just a little country boy. So night after night, we had the moves of God happening in that church. Now I'm driving home, and the Lord says, do you really believe what I tell you? And I said, of course I do. He said, when you get home, I want you to put together a prophetic conference in your city. I said, God, you got to be joking. I know you had watermelon last week, and I hope it didn't upset your stomach, but you've got to be joking. I get home, and I said, honey, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about having a prophetic conference. She said, about what? I said, a compound anointing. Now, please, let me clarify that. You find that in Exodus 30, 31, where the art of apothecary. When I first read that with my Cajun accent, I said, that's the apothecary. My wife said, no, honey, it's not apothecary. It's apothecary. I said, how you get your tongue out of apothecary? And the preacher said, something wrong with you? I said, an apothecary. I said, what it is now? Let me show you how it works in the spirit. You go to the pharmacist. He's got one of these contraptions that look like a bowl. And this other thing, it looked like Fred Flintstone's bone. and he takes this medication and he puts it in there and he crushes that up and turns it into powder form. Hear what I'm saying to you, church? Until you've been crushed, until you've been molded and shaped and turned into powder form, and then God takes it and then he begins to add a little liquid to it and makes it liquefied where you can be poured out.
Yes.
And you study the principle about these spices. One of the spices, which is myrrh, belongs to the apostle. The other one belongs to the prophet.
Yes.
Drip drop. Prophetic utterance. The evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And so I obeyed God. Oh, I have this vision when thousands were going to show up. Well, they didn't show up. Not a thousand of them. The first thing they had to overcome was my name. But they came. And a compound anointing that God was teaching molded with that. In the day to come when the fivefold ministry will begin to really function in the body of Christ, and every local church should have the fivefold ministry operating out of it. We don't have to get Apostle Joe Blow over here and John Brown from Cincinnati and this one from Kentucky and that one from New York. God has people who He has anointed to do a task and to fulfill that destiny. But what we've done, because we've lived so long in the secular world, and we use our intellect to help us in our soul arena, we think that so-and-so, because he has 5 PhD degrees, I want you to know you have a PhD degree, you can praise him daily. In the middle of my sermon, the bishop comes up to me. He says, "Do you know what to do next?" I said, "No." I said, "But be still and know that he's God." Now I'm back in Springfield. I'm going to get you back to the compound anointing. So Gresham gets on the piano. She's a classical music player. The Holy Ghost got a hold of her. She gets up there. Bum, 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 bum. I thought, oh, Gina, my son, the whole 10 days of this, God help me, Jesus. And all of a sudden, I know I'm saying a lot of things to you tonight, the wind of God begins to blow now. And Gresham is playing out of another dimension. She's not reading music, and she cannot play by ear. If you're a musical person, you understand what I'm saying. And she began to go from one end of that keyboard to the other. And I heard the bishop go, "Ooh, whoa." He's holding it. "Ooh, whoa. Ooh, whoa." And all the folks started falling out in the aisle and just holding their belly and just groaning like a bunch of cattle. That wasn't the climax. Watch this. I get up to the microphone. And I went, I'm singing like a dove. I'm flowing out of the dimension that she's flowing out of. And people are getting healed out of cancer. Tumors are falling off their bodies. I mean, people are coming out of wheelchairs. You can call the bishop. He'll verify what I'm telling you. And I'm looking at this. I'm in the spirit. I'm dear Lord, what are you doing? He said, "I'm releasing some uncommon favor." I said, "Well, why is that?" That's not part of my message. He said, "I don't care about your message. I want you to hear, because you obeyed me, I'm going to bless you." And because you won't let it get to your little pee-picking mind, you won't get arrogant on me, I'll do it every time you obey me. I said, "All right, we got 7 more days of this." Get up to the microphone the next night. And I go, "Can y'all read my lips? Nothing's coming out. I'm not struggling. I don't think I have a demon. I'm not frustrated. I'm not aggravated." And somebody gets up there with a shofar and goes, and I'm going, "What?" Man, I wish I could blow a horn like that. And the second time she blew that thing, I fell to my knees. And we had a repentive service.
can you all believe I didn't get to preach my message? As good as a preacher as I think I am. And the men from different denominations began to come in. And the Holy Ghost said to me, now, if you're going to orchestrate through my leadership this compound anointing, this is what I want you to do. Do what I do and nothing else. I don't know them by name. And as the people started emptying their pews and they started coming to the front, they lined up like they were all in the military. And what I saw in the compound anointing, Sister Bates, you couldn't tell the apostle from the prophet, the prophet from the evangelist from the pastor, and the pastor from the teacher. We were all compound, intermingled. We had become one in the sight of God. Now, it is a lot easier to say than to do it. Because when you have a gift from God, and God places you before a body, you have an opportunity to speak on His behalf. But if you're not careful, your speech and your lecture becomes more important than what He wants to do. And I believe this is what has happened to us in churches, where we have come to church and we have left so frustrated. And we blame the preacher. He must not have been anointed today. He must not have fasted or prayed this week. No. He didn't let God do His agenda. He wanted to do His. Father will not take second best in any situation. Can you hear what I'm saying to you tonight? So, what I want to tell you, and before we run out of time, God is on the move. He is changing our spiritual climate. And He's speaking with clarity. Come on. He's speaking with such clarity that when you hear Him, and what I mean by that, you can't just hear the speaker. You must begin to get in tune with the voice within that voice. Do you know that we're created in the image of God, that we can do more than one thing at a time? Except chew gum and preach at the same time. So when we begin to hear God, when you study the principles of this new priesthood, we come out of the Levitical priesthood and all we want to do is perform in temporal service and works, and begin to realize that God had placed an anointing in the Zadok priesthood, who were fashioned after the Melchizedek, which is Melchizedek, the priest of God. If you go back and study the principle in Moses' time, he was looking for a teaching priest. If you go back to Ezekiel with the water coming out from underneath the threshold, you will see a new type of release in America, in America's churches, of anointed teachers, because they're operating out of the true sonship anointing. They will have put off the teachings of their forefathers and put off the teachings of these seminaries and begin to hear God for themselves. And folks, when you hear God from Himself, for yourself, it will change everything about you. Well, we just want to egg you on to come to camp every night. Bring your money. Bring your honey. I ain't quitting. I ain't said amen yet. As long as my dad tells me I can preach, you better hold on, Bubba. Get another notch in your belt. I ain't done yet. Now, verse 1. God had to go through all this just to get your attention. I have a couple of folks from my fellowship here tonight. They know that I'm not sarcastic. They know that I love them, and I tell them the truth. God loves you. We have an awesome task ahead of us. From the White House to the Lighthouse. If you think there's some demonic stronghold that needs to be broken over our country, you want to know what goes on in Washington, D.C., I suggest that you see Sister Shel Reagan back there. She lives there. And if you're not sure that the demonic realm is real, get in your vehicle and travel across our far country. And you will literally feel as you go through these states and cities and communities, these demonic strongholds that need to be broken. And if you're still not sold, come to Louisiana. We have the queen, Jezebel herself. We have the queen of witchcraft, voodoo practice, and every other practice that they hide under fancy names to be able to infiltrate the minds of God's people. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites, of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. She was a gazelle, free-spirited person. And the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. I believe that God took Ruth and changed her inside out. Ruth is a type of church that speaks to us tonight as a church on the move. She had been married in a family of means. But now that it was taken away from her, she thought. And as bitter as Naomi got, and as bitter as some of us have gotten in our journey, I want to encourage you tonight that there's still hope. And I want to challenge you tonight to dare to dream again. I want to challenge you again tonight, take up your vision again. Speak to your vision again, afresh and anew. Because with every vision comes a trial in the testing. Because unless it becomes 100% God, it's to no effect to the kingdom of God. Did she have turmoil? Oh, absolutely. She had to glean in fields on leftovers. How many of you ever invited your neighbor over at night for leftovers? I like leftovers, but not too often. I like fresh meals. I could preach something to you that I learned 30 years ago. It wouldn't do you a bit of good. And you know, it's impossible for me to speak to you out of prophetic utterance of something that I don't experience. It would be foolish. There are experiences in God that we have not tapped into yet. You know, the biggest demon God's got to get rid of is not the one that they cast out of you. It's between your ears. It's the way we think. You cannot possibly be God conscious and demon conscious at the same time. Is that right, Doc? But if you focus on trouble, you're going to get trouble. But if you have the mind of Christ, you're going to get into the anointing and you will begin to have uncommon favor from God. Hallelujah! She was satisfied because her name meant satisfied, but she wanted what Ruth had because the church on the move becomes into a church of opportunity. And with every opportunity, God will open doors for you because it is clearly marked. Push and pull. And then you're going to know when to push and when to pull. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And then we get to the third phase, which I would have impossible for me to preach all these principles to you tonight. In the church of the overflow. And this is where we separate the men from the boys. We're going to be engaging any Bible college in the next year in our church facility. And God has already given me a marvelous instruction. Get rid of all your notes and everything that you've learned from man. Now, how are you going to give somebody a degree in zero knowledge? And how many hours is enough for one credit? And if we think we have gotten so smart because we can quote most of the Bible, when Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom on the earth, guess what? You're going to go into advanced training. This is just boot camp.
Yes.
Then perhaps if we make it, we'll be specialists. He said, and worlds to come. I don't want to sit next door to Jesus. I don't want to build a mansion next door to him. What's the point?
If he leaves and goes out of town, I want to know when he left. I want to live with him. I want to be where he is. I want to be known of him. In the Church of Overflow, we're coming into a time in the churches of America. Now, you listen clearly, and you can tell them that you heard it first at Lake Hamilton Bible College, and I'm not afraid to get out on the limb. There will come a time in our country, in America, you will not have time to go and study. Amen. You better learn how to operate from your overflow, and may I suggest to you, this is just a suggestion, that you begin to get serious about your study and your relationship with God, and quit floating from one church to church, because Superstore Christianity is over. And God is going to place you under the authority of a pastor, and most likely it'll be somebody you don't like. What do you mean? He did it to me. I thought, bless God, he let me get in that pulpit. I'll teach him how to preach. And get up there, and I thought, duh, was written on my forehead. You will find that the pastors that are going to rise up in America will be both bitter and sweet. And you need both of them. Yes. It's not going to be, we pay the preacher anymore. It's, I know God put me there. Doesn't matter what comes. I'm in this ark, and I'm floating. If the creek dries, God will raise up another river. And if the preacher drops dead, God will bring up another one. Because he'll have somebody in line to take his place. So I'm telling you tonight that Moses is dead. And Joshua took up the mantle of God. It's a new day. And we can live in it. And we may have to find us some Naomis that have come so far up to Pentecost and quit. And because of your overflow, they'll pick up their mantle again and say, I've just begun to fight. I ain't quitting here. Bless God. I'm in this for the duration. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm ready to stand up for righteousness. Because if you don't stand up for righteousness, you won't fall for anything.
Amen. Amen.
There's someone here tonight you really feel, because of your failures, that you've been disconnected from God. Somewhere, the enemy of your soul has convinced you, you might as well give it up, because you're not going past go. I want you to close your Bible. I shared this word with my wife this afternoon while we were driving, and I knew when I shared it that God wanted to use it. So I'm going to give you part of it. Now, I don't want anybody looking around when I call this thing out. I want you to be really thinking, keeping your mind on the Lord. I don't get to do a lot of deliverance when I come to this camp because they have wonderful deliverance ministers, but my wife and I do deliverance. The Lord gave me a word this afternoon about spiritual incest. And that what that involves is people who have sat on the ministries, they were spiritually abused, spiritually raped, taken advantage of. We call the word usury. And when they were through using them, they would even consider giving them the time of day. No one looking around, please. In spiritual incest, there's rape involved. We say, preacher, how do they rape you? They rape your soul. They take part of your soul away from you. To the point where it opens so many doors, you begin to invite other gods into your mindset. You begin to form idols. They begin to work on you. To the point, to their final straw, that they want you to quit serving the one and only true God. That is its ultimate goal. And there are a lot of people in America today, in the churches in America, they're going through the motions. But they've been raped, abused, taken advantage of. And these men that stand up and do this, they're spiritually dead. They do not have the anointing of God. They have a false anointing. I call it the unholy anointing. And I've ministered in some of those churches. And one night, I called a spirit out of the pastor's wife, and the next thing I knew that I had two elders grabbing me by my elbows. And I asked them, what did they want? They were disturbing what I wanted. They said, you can't do this. And so I just remained silent and held my peace, and all of a sudden I saw these two angels just take them and move them off to the side. And I finished the ministry that night. But that night, the pastor and I had a confrontation. And so I took the time to begin to show him in Scripture what the Lord had showed me. Folks, it doesn't matter if you're in a position in ministry or you have a particular office. You can still be deceived. And for people who carry this thing, it will ultimately destroy you. And the next thing that goes, you lose your hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you begin to follow gods that make sense. A lot of them have many paths to God. This is all demonic. Can you hear what I'm saying to you tonight? Listen, I came up here tonight and give you a word that I believe God gave me. And every head bowed and every eye closed. Realize that you are part of the family of God tonight. If you hear the sound of my voice, I'm going to ask my wife to come. Now, this is predominantly happening in women. But there are men. There are situations that are men are taken advantage of like that. And you know that you have been taken advantage of. I'm not going to have a plea, and I'm going to draw this thing 5 more minutes. I'm going to ask you on the count of 3 to get out of your seat and get up here, and we're going to minister to you. Would everybody pray? Come on, raise your hands. This is not a show. Raise your hands. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your delivering power, your sovereignty tonight. We absolutely love, adore you. We thank you, Lord, for your gentleness and your kindness. Hallelujah. Father, I anoint my sister tonight. Oh, God. Lord, I break those deep-seated hurts in her heart. God. Father, only you can see in our hearts and our spirit. I break that spirit of incest. In the name of Jesus, loose her now. Come out of her. You have no more authority over her. You entered her as a young child. Leave her now. All the abuse in the name of Jesus, all the violation now, leave her. Leave her now. In the name of Jesus. There it is. There it is. In Jesus' name, let her go.
Let her go now.
Let her go now. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name. Take a time. You have to take a time. In Jesus' name. Father, we ask you for healing now. Healing of the soul. We call her soul back to her. Healing of her heart. We ask for forgiveness, Father, to flow now. In the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, touch this soul. Oh, God. Lord, I break this band. Come off of her now. Untie this cord now. In the name of Jesus. There's the anointing. Just receive it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Okay. Where's the all at? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father in heaven, my God, we thank you tonight for my sister. Lord, we've obeyed your word. I thank you now that you go to the very depths of our soul. Father, we love you. Fill our heart with compassion. Restore everything the enemy tries to steal from her, God. We thank you for the anointing. We call her soul back to her now. all the fragmented parts, we call them back. We collect them back, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for peace. We thank you for clarity. We rebuke all the confusion now, God. We rebuke all the black clouds and the distortedness. We ask you to restore her fervency and her love for you, God, in its full capacity. When she first met you, restore that first love. Now, Jesus, let healing come. Let restoration come. Let joy, peace. Oh, the breath of God. The breath of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for the anointing to increase in her life. In Jesus' name. Father, may her hands lay hands on many sick and many oppressed. And may the importation of the divine authority of God be imparted inside of her tonight. And let the high calling of God come to fruition now in this time. And Lord, let her see clearly the vision. In Jesus' name. There's no greater name but the name of Jesus tonight. Come on, everybody, pray. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Father, I thank you for my brother. God, I break the power of words in the name of Jesus. I break the assignment of abuse. And God, those that have misused him and spoken wrongly against him, Father, I ask you to reach deep into his heart tonight and even in his soul and let forgiveness flow towards his people. Let forgiveness flow, God. Let in your sovereignty, Lord, every part of manhood that they stole from him, I call back into it. I call his anointing back. I call his manhood back. I call his soul back to him. And Lord, I just break every cord over him now that was tied, and I loose him. Break it over his mind. And take it off of his shoulder.
Oh, God.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, oh, God. Remove all this pain, God. Remove all this hurt, my brother. It's not right. Remove everything the enemy has stolen from him. Restore his integrity. Restore his purpose. Restore his focus, God. Lord, I break every assignment. We break the cord over him now and break the bands over his life. And Father, I pray for peace and healing to come back into his soul and his spirit. Lord, heal that wounded spirit. I see, Lord, that the enemy has tried to suck the very life out of him. Bring life back. Bring joy back. Bring peace back tonight. Lord, I break that assignment of a spiritual incest and abuse. I break the power of usury over him now. In the name of Jesus. Father, I call back into the house peace, integrity, joy and strength and compassion in the name of Jesus, the Lord and Savior. I see that something happened to you in a very young way, years back, younger, much younger, and you felt like you never did get it back. God said, son, I'm going to give you everything that the enemy tried to steal from you. I'm going to restore it back to you 100-fold. Now in this time. Now, Father, Let the anointing. There it is. Receive it. In Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for my sister. Mondo sobreni li anda masabredi. Manama sobrere de bogo raba. Manama sobreni le mehe, rotere de city. Raba sundoro girabahaya. Father, words, decisions, secrecy, everything that the enemy has used against her. I ask you to restore and bring healing. I call her soul back to her Lord. I see the Lord have you in the season of fall. Leaves have fallen, foliage, things are changing, and they've changed rapidly in your life. And God says in your season of winter, he's going to place you in, you will even feel it's like a cocoon, and inside you will be completely protected. And he's going to restore everything that the enemy has tried to steal from you. The Lord will say, though you feel like you've fallen, you shall rise. It's not over. Now, in the seasons of our life, we go from spring to summer to fall to winter. But in the season that you're fixing to get into, in your winter, in the stillness and quietness, God's going to reveal himself to you with knowledge like you've never had. And he will enlighten you and give you some of that uncommon favor. It's going to come. The Lord says, your heart's in the right place. But these hard times, they're going to turn into good times. Things will change for the better. It may take a little bit longer than you thought. God says, don't fear for those who have said and spoken and done things behind your back. Release them. Keep your mind focused on me. I'll take you to places where you haven't imagined I could take you. Because I put in your hand authority, power, and abilities. I gave you the means because I could trust you. And I will restore everything back. It belongs to me. I give it back to you. Father, I ask for your sovereignty. I ask for healing of the soul and healing of the heart. Heal her spirit, God. We thank you for her. She's been a blessing. And all the fears will leave. And all the doubts will be gone. You're going to wake up in your season with a song in your heart. A song of the Lord. And that song is a song that will cause you to war in the spirit. And the heavens will open. And I'll give you the vision. And I'll give you the mind, how to do what I gave you to do. The Lord wants me to remind you, in the vision, there are other visions that are birthed. This one's not over. There are other visions to be birthed. Father, let it go. In the peace of God, we give you praise and glory for healing and complete restoration. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I anoint my sister tonight. Father, blessed be your name. Blessed be your holy name. Father, I take authority with the spirit that's come against my sister. Even the things of our life that we think we have hidden, but we know that you know. And Lord, because your finger put, you just put your finger on it tonight. I just see in the spirit, God, that you've touched it where it's never been touched before. So, Father, we release all these hurts. We release all this abuse. We drive these forces out of her soul. We release the rape, the verbal abuse, the violation, I command you to loose my sister now. Let her go. Lord, I call back her soul to her. I call back peace. I call back joy. I call back love and restoration. And everything the enemy has tried to steal, God, restore it back to her tonight. Let her not only know but feel the impressions of your heart. Let her walk in the Spirit like never before. Let the heavens open to her. Let her hear what the Spirit is saying to her. We thank you for healing now that the Spirit is out. Come to the house now, Lord, and heal and restore and replace everything. We cut the cords now. We sever it in the name of Jesus. We thank you she's made whole. In Jesus' name. Anointing of God, have your way. Have your way tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for my brother tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I curse you at the roots. You spirit of incest, leave my brother. In Jesus' name. Spirit of hurt and abuse, violation, leave my brother now. I cut the cord in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for forgiveness to flow. We ask him to release this forgiveness. Release it now. Let it go. We ask you for healing now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, everything that is not of you, remove it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing my brother. Thank you for restoring me. In Jesus' name. Father, I anoint my sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. You spirit incest. You spirit of molestation and abuse. You violating spirit demon. I demand you to leave her soul now. Leave her. Out of her now. Out of her now. In the name of Jesus. I cut your cord. I break your power and your assignment now. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Come on all the way out of her. Come on 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 out of her. All the way out. All that deep-seated hurt. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Let it all up. Let it all up. Take a deep breath. Let it out. All that deep-seated hurt. Jesus' name. All that's been hidden for years. Come out. Come out. You're exposed now. Come out. Come out. Come on all the way out of it. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for healing. I pray for complete restoration. I want you to do something. Say, I release.
I release.
And I forgive.
And I forgive.
Those that have hurt me.
Those that have hurt me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Leave me.
Leave me.
And do not return.
And do not
in Jesus'
return.
Name. Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Let it go.
Amen.
So just lift your hand and raise. Praise the Lord. Just pray. Father, thank you for healing. Thank you for restoration. Let the anointing make her whole. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for my sister tonight. I anoint her in Jesus' name. I thank you right now in Jesus' name. Father, I bind that spirit now. You spirit of incest, hurts, and abuse, usury, violation, in the name of Jesus. All deep-seated hurts right now, I command you out of my sister. Loose her now. Come on out of her. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of her. Jesus' name. Father, right now we pray for a release of forgiveness.
Father, that I pray with my sister that she forgives everyone that's hurt her and violated her now, in Jesus' name, as an act of her will. Say it all, I say, I forgive all those that have hurt me and abused me and used me, in Jesus' name. Father, restore my youth. Restore my health. Restore my first love. In Jesus' name, I give you praise for your love and your restoration. I thank you for peace. I thank you for clarity, that I know exactly what to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, I anoint my sister tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Spirit of incest, leave her now. Spiritual incest, rape and abuse, violation. Lucia, let her go now. Take a deep breath. Let her out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, come and out of me. Say, Father, I forgive those who hurt me and abused me. In Jesus' name, those who abused me, I release them. I ask for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, and I heal them. I call my soul back to you. Complete restoration of health and joy and peace in my home, in my life. In Jesus' name. That's it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I pray with my sister tonight. God, I break every assignment, every spirit of incest, every abuse, every usury, every word spoken against her. In Jesus' name. And my Father, we thank you right now that she prays in agreement with me, that she releases everyone that have hurt and spoken and said things against her. We release forgiveness tonight. We thank you for healing. We thank you for restoration. We thank you for love and joy and compassion. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us and you're a gentle shepherd. You care for us. In Jesus' name. God bless you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, believe what the Lord has moved tonight. We speak blessings to you. Peace. Joy. Have a good night's rest. We'll see you at 6 o'clock in the morning. God bless you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.